Well, today as we look at the fourth week of the message series of Esther, I want to speak specifically to those of you that are really trying hard to do the right thing, and you're not sure that it really matters. We'll see that in this week's message. Some of you, today, you're working really hard, you're trying to honor God, you're serving faithfully, you're seeking God, you're praying, you're trying to restore a marriage, you're trying to get ahead, you're trying to be generous, you're trying to help your kids, and you've been faithful so long, and you're wondering, does God even see this? Does my faithfulness and hard work even matter? Does he even notice? And we're going to see that this week in the book of Esther. The fourth weekend, we're going to see Mordecai is exactly in that place. Now, if you're just joining us, you're going to say, who's Mordecai? Well, let's review. We're going to look at the five main characters. And for those of you that are tired of the review and say, I've got it memorized, congratulations. That means you've been at church. This is for everybody else who has not been here. And so we're going to catch them up on the story. We saw in the first week that there is a king, King Xerxes, who was good at throwing big parties, and he liked to drink a lot. He was drunk at a party, called for his wife, Queen Vashti, and said, hey, come in here. I want to show you off, because you're beautiful, hot, and I want everybody to see you. And she said, I'm tired of being objectified. I'm not coming in. He got his feelings hurt. He banished her. And suddenly the queen's throne is now open. Then we met Esther. Remember Esther? The book is called Esther. She was a Jewish orphan girl raised by her cousin Mordecai. She's taken against her will, goes through this 1 year of beauty training, and is chosen then to be the queen of Persia. As a Jewish girl, she has to keep her identity quiet. Mordecai, her cousin, who's a good man, hears a plot of people trying to kill the king. He tells Esther, saves the king's life, does the right thing. It's written down. And then nothing. Sound familiar? We're going to discover this week the principle that what's unnoticed by people is never forgotten by God. Mordecai does the right thing. Nobody notices, but God does. Then, if you've been with us, the music changes. It gets scary. This is the part of the movie where the bad guy shows up. Haman, the bad guy, shows up. Haman convinces the king that all the Jewish people are evil and convinces the king, you got to kill and destroy all the Jewish people. Mordecai tells Esther, you got to talk to the king. You got to tell him not to do this. Esther's in a really complicated place. She's Jewish. The king doesn't know that she's Jewish. And he's going to kill all the Jewish people. Her people are about to be killed, including her. And she's not allowed to approach the king unless the king invites her. If she comes in uninvited, unsummoned, the king will kill her unless he extends the royal scepter, and then she gets to live. Mordecai tells her the famous line, maybe Esther, you are born for such a time as this. She realizes she has to do something. She calls her people and says, will you pray? And that's where we are today. She now takes a step of faith. We see it in Esther 5:1. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. So she's getting dressed up like the queen. She's going to go approach him. If he wants to, he can kill her, or he can extend the scepter. The king was sitting on his throne in the royal hall facing the entrance when he saw Queen Esther standing in the court. Here it is. What's going to happen when he saw her? What did he do? Did he kill her? No, he did not kill her. The Bible says he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. And the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther?" Great news. Not only is he not going to kill her, but he's actually in a really good mood. He's glad to see her. And he's going to say, "What is it you want, honey? I'll give you anything." That's my translation. He didn't say honey, but whatever he called her, sweetie pie, Queenie, what do you want? He said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." She gets to live. He's in a good mood. She took the step of faith, and God prepared his heart. It seems like the perfect time to ask the king to save the Jewish people. But instead, she invites the king and Haman, the bad guy, to a banquet instead. And then later, she invites them to another banquet. She waits. And we're not really sure why. Theologians have their guesses, like maybe she was being prayerful. Maybe she was afraid. Maybe she was waiting. Whatever it is, what we know is this. We know that in the waiting, God was working. God was working in the waiting. And the whole time this is going on, the bad guy, Haman, he's planning to execute Mordecai. And Mordecai is worried about his people. And neither one of them sees what God already set in motion. Are you with me? Esther 6:1 tells us this. That night the king could not sleep. There it is. I'm going to say it like this. There it is. The king couldn't sleep. There's the hinge. The king had a bad night and God had a plan. The king could not sleep. Look at the rest of the verse. That night the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of Chronicles. These are like the legal records. This is a government record book. I can't sleep. Somebody get me the government book and read it to me. So he ordered the book of Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. The king could not sleep, so he asked for the government record books to be read to him. Now, the phrase, this is so important, could not sleep. In the Hebrew, it literally means to make sleep flee. It's like a fugitive flee or an animal flee. That's the word in the Hebrew. It wasn't that he just couldn't sleep. But what I want you to see is that God didn't let him sleep. The king couldn't sleep because God had a plan. Sometimes, in the most ordinary things, and even the things that seem like interruptions or inconveniences, God is working in the middle of those. The king couldn't sleep. God made sleep flee. It's crazy. It might be for you a restless night. It might be a delay. It might be an interruption. It might be a door closes and you don't know why it closed. And what looks ordinary to you may be something that God is setting in motion. God made sleep flee. And it's 2 a.m. and the king can't sleep. He's got no Netflix, got no phone to doom scroll. So he asked his assistant, bring me the government record book. Out of everything he could have asked for, out of everything they could have read him, he asked for the record of his reign. And here's what the king discovered. Esther 6:2 tells us this. In those records, he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot to assassinate King Xerxes. He hears the account of how Mordecai reported the plot. Remember chapter 2? Mordecai heard about the rumor to kill the king, and he reported it and saved the king, and nothing happened. Now, think about this. You find someone's wallet. They might give you $20. You help someone do something. They might send you a thank you note. He saved the king's life. No note, no gift card to Chick-fil-A, nothing at all. It appeared completely forgotten and unnoticed. Until sleep fled, until the king couldn't sleep, until someone read the right words on the right night, at the right moment, to the right king. And the king asked the question, what did we do for this guy? He asked him this. He said, what honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? He saved my life, the king. What did we do for him? And the attendant said, nothing has been done for him. The king shocked. This guy saved my life. And we didn't do a parade for him? And we didn't give him an award? He didn't get some kind of trade? He didn't get a financial award? He didn't get anything. He did the right thing, and it went unnoticed and seemed forgotten. And that's why I want to speak to those of you today that you're doing the right thing, and it seems like nobody notices. Whenever you're faithful, whenever you're seeking God, when you're doing what He put on your heart, and no one seems to notice. What's unnoticed by people is never forgotten by God. What's unnoticed by them is always recognized in heaven. And the king realizes, we gotta do something for this guy. We need to honor Mordecai, the guy that saved my life. Well, the next day, the bad guy, Haman, comes in and says, I want to kill Mordecai. Can I have permission to hang this rebellious Jewish man on a pole, a 75-foot pole? And the king says, Haman, what do you think should be done for the man that the king wants to honor? I want to honor somebody. What should be done for him? Now, raise your hand if you remember the old Carly Simon song, You're So Vain. Say it with me. You probably think this song is about you. That's Haman. What should be done to honor this man? And Haman thinks, that's me. I'm going to get honored. The king is going to throw a party for me. And so Haman says, here's what we should do. I'm going to plan my own party. We should get this fancy robe and this horse and parade me through on this horse. It's going to be amazing when we come and play the Rocky theme music. I'm going to come riding in on the horse. And everybody's going to clap for me. It's going to be amazing. And the king says, perfect, Haman. You do exactly that for Mordecai. Esther 6:11 tells us, so Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai, the guy that he was trying to kill. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets. proclaiming before him, this is what's done for the man the king delights to honor. Do you see the irony? Haman the bad guy, the man who thought the song was about him, the guy who planned to kill Mordecai, is now leading Mordecai through the streets in honor. Listen, God didn't just stop the attack. He took what the enemy meant for evil, and he turned it for good. He took what the enemy meant for evil and used the most ordinary things to turn it for good. And the good news is most of you are not facing death on a pole. You can say amen right there if you want to. If you think it's bad, you're not going to face a 75-foot pole. You don't want to die that way. Most of you are not facing that. But the reality is, some of you are facing something. You're looking at something that's been moving in the wrong direction for a long period of time. And it's because you have a spiritual enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. And when you're doing the work and the will of God, your spiritual enemy comes against you to try to take away any faith in God. And the devil has a plan. The devil's planning to attack you. The enemy has a plan, but God has a better one. Amen? And the enemy may try to keep you trapped. Maybe it's in a private addiction. And God can take that private addiction and turn that trial into a testimony. And you can declare that by the power and the stripes of Jesus, you have overcome that which held you hostage and bind us for years and years. The enemy may tell you to give up, stop praying, and stop believing. I'm going to tell you right now, the miracle from God, the answer from God, may be closer than you realize. The second banquet comes up, and Esther finally makes her move. Verse 3 of chapter 7, we read this. She says to the king, "King, if I found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request." And there it is. She takes the risk. She finally says, I'm Jewish too. You're planning on killing all the Jewish people. If you do that, you're killing me. And then she helps the king recognize Haman. He's been playing you the whole time. He's the man behind all this. And at that moment, the king sees it all. Haman has been working behind the scenes, trying to kill the people that are not even guilty. And so the king's furious. He storms out. And he comes back in and he says, "Hang Haman." And Esther 7:10 tells us this. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Boom. Take that. So I want to talk to those of you who are doing the right thing and you're not seeing results yet. And you're discouraged because you've been faithful for a long time. And you're seeking God. And you're praying. And you're serving. And you're believing for a miracle. Let me tell you right now. The breakthrough you're praying for may already be in motion. Long before they ever knew what God was doing, God was working behind the scenes. Because here's the thing about providence. Remember providence? Remember what providence is? It's when God uses natural circumstances to bring about his supernatural will. That's the work of God. Providence is best understood looking back. And so I want you to feel it in your own life. that even when you don't see it, God is working. Even when you don't feel it, God is working. Even when it looks like everything's going backward, God is still good. He's been doing this throughout history, all the way back to a hill outside of Jerusalem when the enemy crucified Jesus, the Son of God, and the tomb was sealed, and the disciples wept, thinking the game is over. And then nothing happened. Day one, day two, it looked like God was doing nothing. And you know how this one goes. 3 days later, when the stone was rolled away, the body of Jesus was not there, because by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And what was supposed to be the death of the Son of God became the way for you and for me to have eternal life. And the very same God that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same God working in your life at this very moment. And so please, this is for somebody, not for everybody, but for somebody here. You've been faithful for a long time, and maybe even praying for someone who's far from God, and you see no change whatsoever in their lives. Or you're serving faithfully and it seems like it's not making a difference. Or you're doing the right thing and it seems like nobody notices. Maybe you're working on your marriage and it seems like you're the only one. Or you're giving your best at work and you feel invisible. You're not bitter. You're just tired. And you're wondering, does any of it matter? And I want to tell you, it matters. It matters to God. And God sees every single bit of it, because what's unnoticed by people is still noticed by God. And what's crazy is that God's name doesn't appear anywhere in the book of Esther. But his presence and power is everywhere on every page. See it. See it with me. What do we have? The drunk king, the orphan girl, the sleepless night, the boring book, and the forgotten act. None of it seems important. But none of it is accidental. Why? Because nothing faithful is ever forgotten. So when you get up early and you cry out to God, he hears the cries of your heart. When you keep praying and heaven seems silent, he hears your prayers. When you keep serving and no one notices, what you do to the least of these, you've actually done unto him. Not one moment is wasted. Not one moment, not one prayer is forgotten. And so whenever that voice tells you it doesn't matter, walk away. God doesn't care. God doesn't see it. Remind yourself the devil's a liar. What's unnoticed by people is never forgotten by God. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to tell you right now, when sleep flees, I'm praying for you. And when you do what's right, God sees you. God notices you. You are not forgotten, and God isn't finished yet. Even when you don't see it, he's working. And the same God working in that story, he's working in yours at this very moment.